Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Losses Above Replacement, the best baseball podcast to grace your ears. My name is Alex Clark. I am today's host, joined by our very own Bracket Busters. That is Matthias Almakurasaki and Ryan Splash Potts. My main men, we are in the midst of playoff baseball. How you guys feeling so far?
I'm feeling pretty good. I feel like I'd be having more fun if my team was in the playoffs right now. But
breach!
Exactly. You know what I mean. That's the thing. I will say this about the MLB playoffs, which is any playoffs in any sport, is that it's more stressful when your team is in it, but it's also way more fun. Other than that, I had one of my fantasy football teams score 184 points this week, so I'm doing all right, I'd say.
Oh, damn, all right.
Okay, I'm going to immediately reject what you just said. Perhaps it's fun to have your team in the playoffs, but it is incredibly stressful, and you definitely want to throw yourself off the balcony every pitch, it seems like, and it's just chaos. I cannot believe the Braves actually won today. We're recording after their historic comeback. I don't even know where to begin with it, but oh my goodness. I guess we'll talk about it soon, but go Braves, I guess.
I mean, have you tried winning? I mean, you guys have tried it today. It seems like it's gone
well.
Yeah,
we did win today.
Okay, so it feels better after you win, but not as good after you lose.
No, after you lose, you just want to sit in a corner.
Oh, trust me, I understand.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
So last year, I mean, when Seattle was knocked out of the playoffs, I didn't get to go to the home game. I was at a casino watching the game where we had, like, cushioned seats and all that fun stuff. For all 18 innings of that game, and I'm going to tell you right now, I had never felt more empty as a human being than that game, than the ending of that game.
Well, I'll tell you, I was at the game where the Mets got eliminated last October, which, as of this recording, it was a year ago today. And it was the most painful. Well, it's okay. Let me just say, in New York, it's already rough to take the train home after your team loses. But that was the most painful post-L train ride home that my dad and I took, because I mean, it was just, I never felt more deflated as a fan in my entire life. That felt worse than when they lost in the World Series. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, no, I 100% get it. Like, when we lost, when that game was over, like, yes, it was 18 innings and everyone was kind of okay that it was finally over. But the idea of, like, you still lost after 18 innings and you're out of the playoffs for the first time you've even been in the playoffs in 20 years. Man, no, that was... Trying to get up from my seat, it took a while because I just had no more feeling left in my body. As for how I'm doing right now, at the very least, tired. Just been a long day at work, but I actually got to go on a bit of a mini vacation this last weekend. Drove up to Bremerton, got to go see a show, hang out with some good friends. It was a good time. But with that being said, there's something else that's been going on over the last week since our last podcast. The playoffs have officially started, as we've alluded to already. We've already gone through the entirety of the wild card round and are now midway through the divisional round on either side of the bracket. And let's start off here with the wild card. There's one word that kind of defines it, and that's sweep. Every single wild card series was a sweep, as the Twins swept the Blue Jays 2-0. Then you have the Rangers sweeping the Rays, which I don't think a whole lot of people saw coming. A few people did. I personally did not. So 2-0. Then Arizona handed a pretty good size L over to the Milwaukee Brewers and now are playing against the Dodgers. And then Philadelphia basically turns turns the Miami Marlins into the Miami Fraudlins. So it's like, okay, what's your main takeaway you see here from this wild card round? Like, there's not a whole lot of variety here, but there's definitely some surprises.
So, really what it comes down to for the teams that got sent home was the absolute lack of situational hitting. And I'm going to point to the Blue Jays first. They left 9 men on in both games. They scored a whopping 1 run in 18 innings. That's just, I mean, if you're going to get men on base, you have to, like, cut down on your swing, something like that. They just did not get those big hits. And, yes, it is a game of inches. I mean, Matt Chapman had his opportunity with 2 men on and 1 out, ripped what could have been a game-tying double, instead hit into a double play. You know, it's just not making the most of your opportunities. You look at the Brewers and their series, lost both games by 3 runs. They left 11 men on in game one, had plenty of opportunities, did not come through. Game two, they leave 9 men on. They blow another lead. They blew leads in both games, really. And then the Rays, I mean, the Rays almost set a record for playoff futility. They were one out shy of tying the Dodgers record for most consecutive scoreless innings in the playoffs. 33 and two thirds, I believe they made it. So really, it's just, you know, getting the big hits. It just didn't happen. And I'll just say this right now. The Phillies-Marlins series was never close. It never should have been close. Yes, game one was only a 3-run game, but it felt like it was a much larger deficit, though. And really, it's just crazy to me that the Marlins made the playoffs because they had the worst offense in the National League. So that's what it really came down to, though, I think, situational hitting. I think that, yes, the Blue Jays Twin series was close, per se, score-wise, but the Rangers blew away the Rays. I think the Rangers are an incredibly streaky team. They were firing on all cylinders, though. The Rays just came out flat, really. And the D-backs surprised me a little bit with their offense. And really, their bullpen shut me up, to say the least. I did not really trust that bullpen. They came into play. So props to those moving on. I think those who got sent home, some of them, I think, at least will be back next year.
Yeah, I'm going to take this in a slightly different direction. I thought the storyline of the first round of the playoffs was baseball IQ. Teams like the Rays were making just fundamental errors, and the Rangers outhit the Rays, yes, but they were running the bases well. They were playing good defense, and the Rays were just making error after error after error after, you know, not an error technically because it didn't hit a glove, but Jose Siri misplayed a ball in center field. Yandy Diaz had a couple balls get by him at first that he should have made the play on. And it's hard to get 27 outs against the Rangers. It's even harder to get like 40 outs, and that's what the Rays were trying to do. The Minnesota series, you saw Carlos Correa make a big-time play to gun down a runner. You saw a pickoff to get Vladdy Jr. out at second base. Just smart baseball by the teams that won and kind of dumb baseball in a way by the teams that lost. And it's just, how do you act in that situation? The teams that won made the plays. You know, Evan Longoria made a incredible play to save at least a run, if not two, in the Milwaukee series. And Florida, Miami, Philly wasn't that close, but Philly had some questionable base running, and then Bryce Harper just runs through a stop sign and he's safe because the third base coach was, I believe, trending after the game because he had a pretty rough performance. But it's the little things that count in the playoffs. You can hit, you can pitch, but if you're not filling in the gaps with base running and good fielding, you're not going to win very many games.
Yeah, and that's what's something that I find interesting is that when we were talking on our last podcast, one of the more interesting series that we were seeing here that could have really gone either way was the Tampa Bay and the Texas series. That was one that you had a team that was, what, like one of the best teams in baseball. The only reason why they didn't win the division was because the Orioles decided to win, like, what, 103 games? And they just came out completely flat. And it's kind of interesting. You take a look at the scores here. And of the four wild card series, I should say, there were two series that looked like blowouts. And that was the Texas and Tampa Bay series, as well as the Philadelphia and Marlins series. And one of those, you know what, that one sounds a lot more likely than the other, right? Like, again, people kind of expected that Philadelphia was going to run over the Marlins. Like you said earlier, not a good hitting staff, the worst in the National League. And a pitching staff that was, you know, decent to solid. But how is that going to work against a team that is that big of a powerhouse? One that just hits bombs all day long and hits very, very well, as well as has timely pitching. So here's my question to you guys, just to kind of add on to this conversation a little bit here. What do you think is probably the more significant series of these four? Which of these do you think is going to be the story moving forward in this? Because right now, my personal vote on this is, in my opinion on this, it's Philadelphia. Philadelphia right now, we saw what happened last year with them in the playoffs. And to be fair, I still stand by that I picked the Braves to win and go all the way to the World Series. But here's the problem that I'm also seeing right now. You just gave Philadelphia a team that just didn't even really need a warm-up, and you gave them a warm-up, and they're showing that right now here, even against the Braves, as the series is, as we've alluded to earlier, 1-1. But then you also have this Texas series where right now Texas is going – right now is on this juggernaut path where they had to first go up against the Rays and dismantled them, and right now – are doing pretty well here, including two straight wins against the Orioles, who had the best record in baseball. So which was the bigger surprise? Which is one that's going to be the biggest story going through this playoffs race?
I think it has to be Texas, really, because the thing with the Rangers is they were so streaky this year. Like, it's just they'd have stretches where they looked like world beaters, and then they would, you know – oh, let's put it this way. Their longest win streak all season was 8, August 1st to August 8th. Their longest losing streak this season was also 8. Guess what? It was 2 weeks later, August 16th to the 25th. So they'll look like absolute world beaters, and then they'll go ice cold for a week or something like that. And really, they tumbled into the playoffs, to say the least. They had a 3-game division lead with 4 days to go, and then lost the division. So it's really interesting to see how you recover from tumbling from the precipice of the division title to getting relegated to the wild card series. But they came out, they were firing on all cylinders against Tampa Bay from an offense perspective. Yes, they left 13 men on in game one, but they were capitalizing on Tampa Bay's mistakes. They really jumped on Zach Eflin in game two. Evan Carter looks amazing, by the way. That's a kid who's only 21, just turned 21 in August. I think that the Rangers, they showed who they were against the Rays and that amazing pitching staff, and they've come out firing against the Orioles. I know you can say this about almost any team that makes the playoffs, but when the Rangers are going, they look like a team that can win the World Series. And now they are the odds-on favorites to win the World Series. So I think the Rangers getting past the Rays proves that they're a tough out for anyone, and I would not be surprised if they win the World Series now.
For biggest surprise, I'm going to roll with the Minnesota Twins. You know, this is a team that hadn't won a playoff game in almost 20 years, and not only did they win one, they won two, and they won their first playoff series since 2002. And that is a huge monkey off their back. That is just big performances. Royce Lewis had 2 home runs in game one. And you just come out and you play in front of that raucous crowd. Big, big props to the Minnesota crowd. I don't think they sold it out. They definitely didn't sell it out, and they had like really cheap tickets. But the fans that were there, they showed up. Mad respect there. It was a great environment. And Minnesota is going to see ALDS play tomorrow or the day this goes up. So they're the big surprise so far, and they take a game off Houston. Houston doesn't really lose in the ALDS, word to the Mariners.
Definitely not at home either. That's the thing.
Yeah, definitely not at home. So just a spectacular start for Minnesota. Now they are the favorites to advance over Houston. Just think about that for a minute, that Minnesota, who hadn't done anything in the playoffs in 20 years, they're the favorites right now. And course, that's going to play a role in like Texas being the favorites to win the World Series. Philadelphia was favored to win the World Series while they were up 4-0 earlier today. But I think Minnesota's come to play. And, you know, I was one that picked Houston in a sweep. And obviously, it's not going to be a sweep anymore, but Minnesota's played pretty well.
Yeah, I think I'm going to echo some of your sentiments here, Splash, that I think that Minnesota is really one of the the interesting story going into the DS at this point, just because we've seen so far that when they get the chance to play this year, they have come to play. But there's one more thing I do want to kind of bring up here, and it's kind of echoing what Mac was saying about the Rangers, is that they still can be very streaky. We don't know to what extent, though. And that's the real question here. This is why I don't have a whole lot of faith in them. We saw this team go from being basically a good chance of being the number one seed in baseball earlier in the month, so earlier in the year, to fighting for a playoff spot, is a fight for a playoff spot, to holding the division, to then losing the division. And all of that happens within just a matter of weeks. And do I need to also remind that Texas did lose three of their last four? Like, against, in that last series against Seattle, and had they lost the one more, then maybe Seattle has been in the playoffs. But anyway, at that point, like, I can't trust Texas right now. Yes, they won an amazing series, but we've seen that right now this team is arguably talent-wise and ability-wise, when you put it all together, the best team in baseball right now. When they put it all together, when they get everything all figured out, it is impossible to stop that team. But the key word is if. And when that team is streaking like they have been, they can be a team that will either score 8 runs in a game or no runs in a game. And it becomes a huge issue for them overall, which is why I can't really say that they're going to win the World Series, because I have a feeling that their luck is going to run out before them. I will say I am 100% at this moment both a Orioles fan and a Twins fan, just because I want the Orioles to make, I think, the feel-good story this year, as well as any team that's against the Houston Astros is a fan of mine. But at that point, I think, honestly, the biggest surprise, if I had to choose one, though, it is going to be the Twins. The Twins series was one that we were kind of laughing at. I'm going to be honest here. We were laughing at it during the last podcast, because the stadium wasn't sold out and you could get playoff tickets for as low as $8 on some ticket sharing apps. So to see them finally get the moniker back of where they finally got the win back in their team logo, it's, are they going to be this team that's a juggernaut to stop? I mean, it's very possible. Like, this is a good baseball team and could very well, like, I know that we were saying that, you know, technically at that point, the Astros are the underdogs. No, they're not. The Astros are not the underdogs. You can't say that at this point. So I think the Twins could make some serious noise here, especially if they get on a good roll here against Houston. Any last words here we want to say about the wild card round before we move on to the divisional round?
I will say one thing, which is that the Twins, I think, were really well set up for a best of three series when you can go Pablo Lopez and Sonny Gray. I think that, you know, we go into this division series, and the tough part is they really don't have a great third option, I would say. I know Bailey Ober was solid in the regular season, but he kind of had a rough time in game one of the ALDS. So really, you have to win every single game that Gray and Lopez pitch. And I think their bullpen has been fantastic this postseason so far. But I'm curious to see really if they can keep it up throughout the rest of this ALDS, and if they advance in a best of seven series.
Yeah, no, this is going to be really interesting to see what we see here now going into the divisional series. So speaking of the divisional series, let's talk about that now. So we're only at the very most 2 games into every series right now. And at this point right now, we have, like we said earlier, the Twins versus the Astros. We have the Rangers versus the Orioles. You have the Diamondbacks against the Dodgers, and the Philadelphia Phillies against the Atlanta Braves. So as of this exact moment, which I know there are still some games going on, as of this exact moment, the Twins and the Astros are tied at 1 game apiece. Texas leads the Orioles 2-0. Arizona leads the Dodgers 1-0. And the series is tied between the Phillies and the Braves 1-1. At the time of this exact recording right now, the Diamondbacks and Dodgers are in the top half of the 8th inning, with the Diamondbacks leading 4-2. So with that being said here, there's already some very interesting storylines starting to brew here in the divisional round. And this is really the round that I like to see where things start to really heat up in the playoffs. Like the wild card, it's always fun to see like the good little feel-good stories start to come through. But it's the divisional series where the playoffs really get cooking. So tell me right now, there are 4 series that we are looking at here. We've already been talking about them a little bit. Which series right now is the most intriguing to you guys? Which one of these four is the most intriguing?
You know, I think this easily goes to Philadelphia and Atlanta. You can talk about the other series, but this is a series that has two of the top four teams in baseball. If you're doing power rankings, I think Atlanta is probably one. Then you have LA's in there. Baltimore's is in this discussion. Houston's in this discussion. But Philly has to be in this discussion as well. And they proved last year they can ball out in the playoffs. And you have the sort of like part two, the sequel, right? Even the Dodgers, you could say, oh, they are trying to get revenge, but they're not playing the same team they did last year. Atlanta and Philly, you know, a rematch of last year's series. I think that kind of ratchets up the like intensity of the series, division rivals. They're playing again. And I think that's clearly the top series here. I think both of these teams can win the World Series. I don't think there's any other series. Maybe you could argue Texas and Baltimore. I don't think there's any other series that both teams are real and legitimate contenders to win the World Series. I think Houston can win the World Series. I think the Dodgers can maybe win the World Series. Arizona, Minnesota, meh. But you have two real contenders. And in a different year, in a different playoff format, maybe you're having an NLCS matchup between Atlanta and Philly as opposed to another divisional round matchup.
Yeah, really? It pains me to say this as a National League East fan, because you have two NL East teams going at it. But like Splash said, these are two teams that could very easily win the World Series. I think what I'm most intrigued by is, obviously, today the Phillies blew a 4-0 lead, and to have a game end with Bryce Harper getting doubled off first base, I'm really curious to see here how Philly will respond, because in my head, I thought that Philly just needed to win one game in Atlanta because Citizens Bank Park is an incredibly hostile environment. And we've seen how good the Phillies have been at home during the postseason. They were great at home last year up until the World Series. They've been great so far this year. They've won both games at home against the Marlins. Now going back home after an off day, I think the off day is a big key for them. Because you can maybe, you know, get rid of some of those demons from how this game ended. And now you go back home, you have Aaron Nola on the mound, and then Ranger Suarez, who did a very good job in game one, along with the entire Phillies bullpen. So I think the Phillies and Braves, I've been saying this the whole time, the Phillies are a team I would not want to face. And really, I still think the Phillies are in a solid position to do some damage. So I'm really, really curious to see how this plays out. Like I said, as an outsider, as a Mets fan, it kind of hurts to watch these two teams face each other, but it's really high-quality baseball. So if there's one series that I recommend all baseball fans tune into, it's this one.
I like your reasoning, both of your guys' reasoning on it. However, I'm going to go in a different direction here. But I'm also going to go to the National League here. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks series. This is one that I think is probably the most intriguing. And the reason for it is that you have a team that has been kind of like the Rangers earlier, a team that was very streaky, one that struggled about midway to late through of the season, but dominated in the early bit and is starting to refine their focus, taking on the juggernaut Dodgers that a lot of people have as a heavy favorite, at least a good favorite, to make it into the World Series again this year. And that's including good, tough teams like the Phillies and the Braves. But look at what the Diamondbacks are doing. The Diamondbacks had first their series here against the Brewers and won each game handily. A 3-run game for each one of those, winning 6-3 in the first and then 5-2 in the second. Okay. That's the Brewers. Like, okay, the Brewers are a good team, but they're not an amazing team. They're the Brewer. It's like, but they're not the Dodgers. But then you go up against the Dodgers and you go up against Clayton Kershaw, who has had a solid year this year. Not the best year, don't get me wrong, but a solid year. And just when people started to think that the playoff Kershaw memes would go away, he goes and gives up a bunch of runs. And the Diamondbacks put a statement win on the first game of the division series here, winning by a final score of 11-2 in LA. Let me say that one more time. They won by 9 runs in LA. That is impressive, none least for a team that has that big a chip on their shoulder right now. I love seeing it. And on top of it, you're looking at the game that's happening right now and very well may end while we're recording this podcast here. But the Diamondbacks are leading 4-2. And if they win that game, guess what? They are one game away from going into the NLCS. Like, I think this is a great David and Goliath type of story, but I think that means that people might be sleeping on the Diamondbacks here just a little bit. Like, I don't get me wrong. I can't be a hypocrite and say that the streakiness of the Rangers is what's going to kill them, but the Diamondbacks won't get it, even though they've been streaky. I can't say that. However, one of the things I'm noticing here is that each one of their games that they have played, they have felt like they have won them pretty handily. Like, each one of the games, it felt like they were in control. And it's been so far that way here against the Dodgers. There's a difference between being in control of a game and winning a game. I think we could all kind of agree to that one. Like, there's games that you can win on the last at-bats, and there are games that you win from the first at-bats. So I think this is going to be really interesting. And on top of it, I think that if you give the Diamondbacks time to rest, like if they win this game and then win the next one, right, and do a sweep of the Dodgers, I don't think it's too far-fetched to say that the Diamondbacks have a real chance of going to the World Series. Like, regardless of who wins between the Philadelphia Phillies and the Atlanta Braves. Like, don't get me wrong. Both teams are incredible. Both teams are very, very, very good. But if what we're seeing here from the Diamondbacks is real, I think both teams would be nervous to be playing against them right now.
Yeah, I'll say this is that the D-backs won 84-78 this year, but I feel like their roster is better than their record indicated. Especially, you know, you have Corbin Carroll, who's going to win Rookie of the Year, might get top five in MVP voting. Power hitting first baseman in Christian Walker, a really good defensive center fielder in Alec Thomas. Ketel Marte, I feel like, became underrated all of a sudden. Tommy Pham, a veteran presence who is a pretty good hitter still. I watched him with the Mets a lot. He hits the ball very hard. Gabriel Moreno, a pretty underrated offensive catcher. And Lourdes Gurriel was an all-star. He kind of slumped in the second half, but he's solid. A playoff veteran in Evan Longoria. Plus that front duo of Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen, they're both really good pitchers. And really what won them that series in Milwaukee was their bullpen. Their bullpen was lights out, did not allow a single run. So I'm curious to see if they were to advance, though. It's the same question I have about the Twins is, what can we get beyond Gallen and Kelly? Is Brandon Faught going to be for real? You know, is the bullpen going to hold up? So those are my questions, really, regarding these Diamondbacks in a best-of-seven series. But, man, they've proved me wrong so far. I did not think they would put up much of a fight against the Dodgers, and here we are. Obviously, this game is not over, but they, you know, especially their offense, they've been strong so far. So I'm really curious about these D-backs. I don't know if this is the best comparison, but they kind of give me 2006 Cardinals vibes. So, you know, they haven't made the NLCS since 2007. Maybe this is the year they get there. They haven't made the World Series since 2001. We'll see what happens.
Please don't remind me of 2001 and the Diamondbacks. I will always feel sad about that. No, they deserved it. And they're not the Yankees, thankfully. Anything else we want to say here?
I was going to say, man.
Yeah, look, I don't have a problem with the Diamondbacks. I definitely have a problem with the Yankees. But, I mean, to be fair, I still will always hear 2001 and feel both a sense of nostalgia and a sense of longing because of what could have been. But that's just how it be sometimes. All right, what more do we want to talk about when it comes to the ALDS, NLDS? We talked a lot about the NLDS. What about on the ALDS side of things here? What are the intriguing matchups here? We have Houston and we have the Twins, as well as the Orioles and Texas, especially when we talk and consider about how Texas has been on this torrent streak since starting the playoffs. I know they have won four straight. So what do we see about that going forward?
Well, the Rangers really have the Orioles on the ropes. I mean, my biggest concern with the Orioles this whole time was their starting rotation. And unfortunately, they've proven me right. Kyle Bradish was solid, striking out 9 4 2/3, but Grayson Rodriguez just got absolutely ambushed by the Rangers offense. And like I was saying, that Rangers offense is relentless. I've not doubted the Rangers offense at all. I doubted their pitching staff, but I mean, the combination of Andrew Heaney and Dane Dunning did their job in game one. Game two, yes, things got pretty tense, but these Rangers, like I said, they're tough to stop when they're firing on all cylinders. And right now, they kind of are firing on all cylinders. Like I mentioned, Evan Carter, I mean, the dude is over 2 years younger than I am. He's drawn 6 walks against 2 strikeouts. He has a 700 on-base percentage. I mean, what more can you ask for? For a 21-year-old, he is the approach of a veteran out there. So the Rangers and O's, that's definitely – I think the Rangers basically have this series on lock. Twins Astros, on the other hand, who knows where this can go? I mean, with Sonny Gray, I think the Twins need to win with Sonny Gray on the mound. If not, this momentum definitely shifts back to the Astros, though. Dusty Baker did say Justin Verlander will probably not pitch in game 4. So that might give the Twins a little bit of an edge going into that game.
Yeah, no. So this one I think is going to be interesting. I don't want to count out the Orioles though just yet, right? Like, Swatch, what do you think here? Because I think the Orioles are still a really good team. I can't count them out just yet, right?
Yeah, and you look at the game yesterday and it's like 11-4, 11-5 in the ninth, and Texas's bullpen just starts to have a meltdown. And even in game one, you bring in Spores, he walks the first batter, gets to a 3-ball count against the second batter, and then you just, like, Texas Ranger your way out of it. Then the next inning, you bring in Chapman, and he throws 7 straight balls to begin the inning, and it's hard to win games when you're giving the other team free base runners. And sometimes you'll erase them with strikeouts or erase them with pop-outs and whatnot, but you can't give good teams extra bases. That's why errors are so costly. That's why the Rangers are even here in the first place, because Tampa couldn't get outs, right? And how many times have we seen misplays in the outfield or botched double play attempts or heaven forbid catcher's interference? Although JT Realmuto did not touch Sean Murphy's glove. It's Alec Boehm 2.0 as far as I'm concerned, but it's the little things that count. I said it earlier, I'll say it again, that you can't walk people in the playoffs. You have to execute between the margins, and walking people is the fastest way to blow a playoff game, because that solo shot is now a 2-run homer, a 3-run homer, a grand slam, and you can't win like that against a good team like Baltimore. They did win. I get that. You had Aaron Hicks coming through in the clutch for Baltimore. Shout out to the Yankees for that one. But if I'm Texas, you got to figure out the bullpen. You know, Eovaldi was good. Jordan Montgomery has been phenomenal. Like Texas, the starters, perfect. Like exactly what you want from them. The bullpen has been, they've gotten the job done, but it's been a lot of clenched anuses.
Welcome to one of the first instances of the word anus on our podcast, but it's a good time.
I believe it's the second. I was listening back to one of our older podcasts and around the All-Star break, I said, like, the first thing I said was, Major League Baseball, you can lick my anus for taking the All-Star game out of Atlanta. So second time.
All right. Understand. And both of them were by you. These are the stats.
Those are the stats that matter.
The stats that matter. What is the NBA inside? Inside the NBA, Neato stat of the night.
EJ's Neato stat of the night, yeah.
There you go. This is the splash of Neato stat of the night.
There's your stat.
You said the word anus twice as just in conversation without talking about it as a stat. Anyway, any other last thoughts we want to talk about the division series before we move on to our next topic?
Gotta give another shout out to the Diamondbacks. I thought they were major underdogs coming into this series, but I honestly would have zero issue with them going to the NLCS or further. I think they're actually a really fun team to watch.
Understandable. I would love to see them going into the NLCS. To be fair, my dream scenario, which I didn't put on the podcast, but my dream scenario is Orioles versus Diamondbacks, just because I think that would be a lot of fun. Anyway, with that being said, we're going to move on here. So we've already done a lot of our predictions. We'll continue doing our predictions on Twitter as well. Make sure you go follow us on Twitter at @LAR_baseball. Every new series, we will be putting out different graphics made by our very own Ryan Splashpots here that talks about our predictions for each one of these major series. And then you can let us know if we are right or if we're full of poop. So with that being said, we're going to try a new segment here that I will say given to us by our very own Ryan Splashpots. An interesting idea that we are going to be calling Rant Roulette. So each of us have brought together three topics of conversation, two sports related, one non-sports related. And we are going to be given a random one of the nine. I'm the only one that knows what all nine prompts are, but as the host, I think I kind of have to at this point. But from there, we are going to be given a random prompt from a random list generator and just have to talk for about a good minute about that one topic. Flash, just something you wanted to say real quick?
Yes. So this idea came from the NFL Stock Exchange, Trevor Rogers, Connor Rogers, Trevor Sikkema. So shout out to them. They had a segment last week on their Wednesday show that they both, you know, brought in a whiteboard and wrote down topics, and they introduced the topic to the group to talk about. I thought it was fascinating, so shout out to them. They run a great show.
All right, definitely shout out to them as we get ready to start our own version of it. So I have with me a six-sided dice. Here, I'm going to roll, and this will determine who goes first. If it's one or two, I'll go first. If it is three or four, Mac will go first. If it's five or six, Splash will go first. It is a three, so Mac, you will be the first one to go first. And your topic, as I randomize the list, your topic is, we're starting out beautiful without a sports question, what is the best fast food burger? What is the best fast food burger, Mac? All right, this floor is yours. I want to hear what you got to say.
My thing is, I don't know what we consider fast food anymore. Because I don't, so personally, Shake Shack is my favorite burger. But do we consider Shake Shack fast food?
I think I could. My definition of fast food is either it's a drive-thru or it is a, you can be in and out in 5 minutes.
Okay, because I think technically there are Shake Shacks that have drive-thrus, but I've never been to a Shake Shack drive-thru. So if I'm going with my favorite fast food burger, I know this might shock some people. I'm going with In-N-Out. And the reason I'm going with In-N-Out is, yeah, sure, they don't have bacon on their burgers, but it's cheap. And considering the value and the quality of the food, I think In-N-Out has to be the, first of all, it's the OG drive-thru. And second of all, I just think that for what you're paying, you're getting great quality burgers plus the secret menu. So In-N-Out, in my humble opinion, is the king of fast food burgers.
Interesting take. I mean, I personally get it. I like In-N-Out, but it's not, in my opinion, it's a little overhyped at times. A little bit, but
I'm following you.
Understandable. Splash, do you have any quick comments before we move on to our next one?
See, I'm not the biggest burger fan from fast foods, from fast food restaurants. Like, if I'm going to, say, McDonald's, I get chicken nuggets or breakfast, right? So, yeah. I don't really have an answer. I'd have to think about it for a while because I just don't eat a lot of burgers, honestly. Yeah, like, regular restaurants, you know, I'll knock down a barbecue, bacon burgers, hickory barbecue, whatever. I'll knock down one of those, but fast food, not a big burger guy.
So, okay, here's a quick question for you guys before we move on to it then. Is Five Guys fast food burger then?
Oh,
Five Guys count?
Yeah. That's one I flip back and forth on.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. My thing with Five Guys is honestly I feel kind of disgusting after I have Five Guys. Sometimes like it's almost like too much food, if you get what I'm saying.
I get that. It is the 100% my favorite burger. My 100% my favorite fast food burger, and potentially my favorite actual burger, because most of the time I'm like, you splash. Like, if I'm going to like a McDonald's or something like that, I'm getting McChicken. If I'm going to like DQ for food, I'm getting like chicken strips or something like that. So,
right. I do want to give a shout out to Elevation Burger in Virginia. It's sort of like toes the line of being fast food and not fast food. Because like you can sit down in there, and they don't have like a takeout window, but in Falls Church, takeout windows like aren't allowed in most places, which is weird. But anyways, Elevation Burger, that's my go-to, at least up here.
Understandable. Actually, we had a fun time back when I was living in Bothell, still in high school. A Five Guys opened up, like, and people were skipping school to go to this Five Guys. And I'm like, why? Like, it's a burger, but no worries. I understand. It's a good burger. Anyway, all right, so it's just you and me left splash here. So 1 through 3 will be me. 4 through 6 will be you. I've rolled, and it is a 6, so you will be going next. So your topic of conversation here is, this is actually one of the ones that you gave. So if they lose, is this playoff exit more disappointing for the Braves or for the Dodgers? Right now, currently, the Braves are tied 1-1 with Philadelphia, and the Dodgers are currently 1-0 against the Diamondbacks, but are on pace right now to be 2-0.
Okay. I was thinking about this in the cooler yesterday. I think it's the Dodgers, and you can look at Atlanta and they have the better record. Yeah, it would be their second straight loss to Philadelphia, but I think you have to factor in the quality of the opponent here, that Atlanta as a team, you're not overlooking Philadelphia. I think if you're LA, you might be overlooking Arizona. You dominated them, historically dominated them. Zach Gallen can't win Dodger Stadium. Merrill Kelly was like 0-11 against the Dodgers. There's nothing about the Diamondbacks that really scared you. Atlanta, you have visual evidence that they dropped their nuts on your face last year. So Atlanta has like something going against them here. And I think this would be a really bad loss for the Dodgers. They're not playing a World Series caliber team, in my opinion. Atlanta is. And so that to me is the difference.
Yeah, I understand that. I would say personally that this would be a bigger loss for the Braves than for the Dodgers, just because I think with the Dodgers, you've had so many injuries, but there are so many players that have left over the course of the year that your team is still good, don't get me wrong, but it's not as strong as it could be, and so you can use it as an excuse. Whereas for the Braves, I feel like the Braves are just the most talented team in the National League. And if you're the best team in the league, you deserve to go to the be going to the World Series. So that's my 2 cents. But I'm not going to go too much on it. That was zero.
Yeah, I'll just give you my quick 2 cents, which is that I think there's a reason I picked the Phillies to win this series. The Phillies, like I said, they're the team in the National League I would not want to face at all. Meanwhile, the Dodgers, I thought they were the heavy favorites going in against the Diamondbacks. I had them winning the series in no more than 4 games. So I think it's just that the Dodgers have been here so many times. They've made the playoffs each season since 2013. They've won 100 or more games each of the last, if I'm not mistaken, each of the last 4 full seasons. So I think at this point, it's just a major disappointment for them whenever they don't make it past the LDS.
Yeah, no, I completely get it. All right, so I will go now to my topic, and as I take a look here. Okay, all right. I was actually, when I was going through the topics earlier, this was one that I was really hoping I would get, so I'm glad about that. It's Game 7 of the World Series. Who do you want on the mound? And, all right, I have a very easy answer for this one. It's the big unit, Randy Johnson. I want Randy Johnson on the mound. Give me 2001 Randy. Give me 95 Randy. Give me any of the good prime years of the big unit. And I can guarantee at that point that as long as you have a competent offense, that you are going to win that game. You may even only need one run to do that. He's a guy that can give you stamina, can give you great stuff, great velocity. I there are a lot of pitchers I was considering. Like, what I just kind of mentally was going through this prompt. The other names that kind of came to me were guys like Greg Maddux. I thought would have been amazing because I love a guy that can go, that doesn't have to throw 100 pitches to beat you. And as well as guys like Sandy Koufax as well. But I, at the end of the day, I settled on Randy, and I think Randy is just, in my opinion, the best option.
Yeah, I'm going to wholeheartedly agree with you. Actually, I've been asked this question so many times, and I mean, Randy Johnson only pitched in one World Series, and he was co-World Series MVP for a reason. Mm-hmm. He had a 1.04 ERA. He came out on, what was it, zero days rest in Game 7 and got the win. Through a complete game shutout in his first ever World Series start. Yeah, I don't think the lights would get too bright for Randy in World Series Game 7. So I 100% agree with you.
Not to mention, he also has a lot of – he also has some bullpen experience in the playoffs. Kevin.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to bring up a different Diamondback, although he didn't do any of this as a Diamondback. Madison Bumgarner, know, a 0.25 World Series ERA. Some other guys, you know, from long, long ago, Christy Mathewson had a 0.97 ERA in the World Series. Bob Gibson was excellent in the World Series. I'm not going to say his name, but he's a pretty bad person, pretty questionable person, but he won a World Series with the Diamondbacks, was co-MVPs with Randy Johnson in that series. You can kind of get who I'm getting at, probably. He was great in the World Series. John Smoltz was great in the World Series. I think I'm going to go Madison Bumgarner. You can't go wrong with Randy, but Mad Bum, that the 0.25 World Series ERA, that's tough to look past.
Yeah. No, I think Mad Bum is definitely a really good option, especially like prime Mad Bum. Like, I remember listening to a lot of the games back when they were in the World Series. I was actually in college during some of it. And just listening to the games and also getting to watch whenever I could and just how dominant he was. It just felt like it wasn't even fair. On top of it, he was also hitting the ball too. So I'm like, okay. Anyway, that's going to do it for Ranch Roulette here. Let us know what you think here on Twitter at @LAR_baseball. We're going to try to make this a little bit more regular, but we're going to keep the six that we had also pitched along with this. We're going to keep in the mix, but we're going to be adding on more and more into this, so we never know where we're going to ever get. But with all that being said, it is now time for everyone's favorite segment. It is time for trivia here, as now I hand it off to our trivia master for today, the one and only Ryan Splash Potts. Take it away.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. History has already been made this postseason, and I am asking you guys to continue along with this history. And today's goal is to guess players who are the youngest in that franchise's history to hit a home run. One of these teams may or may not have had this record set this postseason. So I have this set up. I have them split up into their six divisions. So AL East, AL Central, AL West, so on and so forth. And we're going to be playing with a points system today. And you have three kind of tiers. You have tier one of you get 3 points if you just name the player when I give you the team. Tier two, I'll give you the years he played and the years he played. And then tier three, I will read off his accolades on Baseball Reference. And you will get 1 point if you get it correctly there. You can like tell me, oh, I think I can get this player with 2 points. Just give me the years.
And this is the youngest player to hit a postseason home run, just to be
yes, yes. Clear. Youngest All player right. to hit a postseason home run. So I'm going to ask Siri.
How many points to win?
I'm going to say 10 points to win.
All right, okay. Sounds good.
Okay. So flip a coin. Okay. Thank you, Siri. Flip a coin. It is tails this time. On my Zoom, Alex is below me. So, Alex, you may begin. Please pick a division.
Okay. AL West. Let's go for it.
All right. AL West, your team is the Los Angeles Angels. What tier of guessing would you like?
Okay, so the youngest player to ever hit a postseason homer for them.
Yes.
Okay, so.
So, Tears, you can either guess the player now for 3 points. I'll give you the years for 2 points. I'll give you the years and his accolades for 1 point.
Yeah, let's go for the 1 point. Let's make it easy, because I don't have an answer right now. All right, so.
This player played for the Angels from 2011 to 2023. He's a three-time MVP, Rookie of the Year, 11-time All-Star, 9-time Silver Slugger, 2-time All-Star Game MVP, Major League Player of the Year, and Wilson Overall Defensive Player of the Year.
So is it
Alex, name the player.
Wait, is it Trout?
Yes.
I'll say this right now, and I'm probably just the idiot fully for this, is that I, for some reason, thought that Trout did not have a hit in the postseason.
Maybe
I'm
just wrong. On it was a homer. Has,
okay, you know what? Fair enough. That's why I went for the
zero postseason wins, though.
They're yes. Very true. Fair enough. Fair enough.
All right, Matt, please choose your division.
National League West.
All right, National League West. Los Angeles Dodgers.
Oh, I'm going to have to go tier one on this.
All right, tier one, 2019 to 2022 with the Dodgers. He was a 2020 World Series champion.
Oh, my God. What? Came up in 2019? Oh, my. This is going to take me a moment. I'm trying to think. So he was a 2020 World Series champion. God, who in the world could this be? Oh, God. So, this is completely stumped me somehow, and I'm not sure how that's possible, because I know who it isn't. I'll tell you that much. Oh my God, this is gonna drive me insane, because I should know the answer here. Youngest to do it, 2019 to 2022, is it? Is it Gavin Lux?
Gavin Lux is correct.
Let's go.
Nice, John. Way to
I couldn't remember
out.
If he was on the 2020 team, like the World Series team.
Yeah, I said like Dodgers 2019 to 2022, and I thought that was a pretty reasonable clue that he didn't play this year because he was out for the whole year, but we moved.
To be fair, when I heard that, I thought that it was a player that played in 2022 and then left. For 2020.
That's what I thought initially.
Okay. Yeah, I tried to. It happens that the two players we've had have played all for one team. I don't know how we're going to cover it if someone didn't play for the same team. But anyways, Alex, please choose a division.
Okay, so quick question. Can I pick a division that's already been picked?
Yes. All right, you just AL can't West. Choose it more than five times. All right, AL West. The Texas Rangers.
Okay. Let's see here. I have some ideas, but I'm not confident in really either of them. So I'm going to go with, give me the tier two, the one that you give me the years that they played for them.
2023.
Oh, Josh Young?
That is incorrect.
Ah, correct.
It is. Mac, do you know?
Yes, I do. Should I give the answer?
Yeah, go ahead. It's
Evan Carter.
That is correct.
Oh, okay.
21.
All right, all right, Mac.
All right.
I don't think – wait, does Mac get those points?
No points for that.
No points. All right. No. Give me the National League East.
All right, National League East, Atlanta Braves.
Can I just do tier three? What's it called? Andre Jones?
Yes, the youngest player ever to do it. That's 4 points total so far for Mac.
I did get 1 point, though. So.
Yes. Andre Jones, you are a good friend. All right. Alex, please choose a team. Or division. That's the word I'm looking for.
Just keep. I'm going to keep going with AL West till I get the Mariners. So.
Okay. Seattle Mariners.
I'm going. Okay. So here's the problem. I think I know the. I'm pretty darn sure I know what the answer is. I'm going to go with tier three. But is it A-Rod?
It is A-Rod. It is a tie game.
Yep. I had a feeling on that, as much as I hate saying his name.
All right. Mac, tie ball game. Back to you.
Oof. Give me the NL West again.
All right. NL West. Arizona Diamondbacks.
Tier 3, Corbin Carroll.
That is correct. 7-4 Mac. Alex.
All right. You know, keep to the AL West, I guess, even though we already did the Mariners. All right. This is the division I know.
Oakland A's.
Okay. So, Oakland A's. There is. I'm going to go with tier two on this. I wanted the years.
Okay. Do you want the years he was an A or the years he was active in baseball?
Okay. So that's a. Okay, so to clarify here, mm-hmm. he hit this home run with the A's.
Correct.
Okay, so yeah, no, then just give me the years that he was with the A's.
All right. 1925 to 1935.
Never mind. I need more information.
Okay.
I don't have any more information. I don't know if even more information is going to help me out.
Okay. Hall of Famer, three-time right, Jimmy, MVP, Jimmy triple Fox. Crown. Yes, Jimmy Fox is correct. That is five nice. Points for Alex.
Woo!
All right, Mac, this is for the win, potentially.
Wait a minute. Hold, give, oh, yeah, never mind, never mind.
Give me the National League East.
National League East, Philadelphia Phillies.
Oh, boy.
Wait, should I be at 6 points, actually?
You got...
I did three, a one, a three, and a two.
Oh, with Fox and Trout, you needed the accolades. That's one each.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Yep. Oh, okay.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, so you can't finesse yeah. me there.
Oh, no, I wasn't actually even expect. To be fair, I wasn't even going to, I tried to say my answer before you gave the accolades.
Oh, okay.
Oh, all that's, right. All right, no worries.
So for okay, the for the Phillies, I'm going to need, give me the years, and I'll see.
Years he played with the Phillies or overall years?
The Phillies.
2022, 2023.
Oh, what? So he came up last year, or no? Would he have come up last year, or would he have? Man, I should know the answer here. If it was if oh man, okay. I think I'm gonna take a guess. I'm not actually sure if this would be the answer, but I think he's younger than the other guy I have in my mind. So I'm going to go with Brandon Marsh.
Brandon Marsh is correct for 2 points.
Let's go.
All right, Alex.
Okay. I'm going to take a gamble here.
Okay.
I'm going to say AL West again, which means that it's going to be the Astros, correct?
Yes, Houston Astros.
Yep. And I'm just going to go for the three because I need to get close enough at this point here.
Fair.
I'm just going to say Kyle Tucker.
Kyle Tucker is incorrect.
Ah, I gave it a guess.
Mac, do you know?
The youngest Astro? I mean, I'm assuming this dates to the National League days, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, honestly, I have no clue.
It's Correa time, boys and girls.
Oh, my God, Correa. I should have gotten that. Yeah, he was like 21.
Well, see that? See, that was what I was thinking about, that it would be Tucker, because he made his debut when he was 21. So I'm like, you know what? He's pretty good. Let's see if that'll help.
All right, Mac, back to you.
All right.
All you need is 1 point.
You know what? Give me the National League Central since we haven't touched them yet.
Chicago Cubs.
Oh, no, dude.
I'm just going to be honest. You're cooked here. I've never heard of this player.
It doesn't help me. What? Give me the career accolade and stuff. Tier one.
He played Major League Baseball from 1932 to 1944. Or take that back. He played in 1932 and 1933. Was out for 1934, and then played from 35 to 44. He was with the Cubs 32, 33, and then 35 through 38. He was a 2-time All Star, and that's it.
What the heck?
Have fun, bud.
Joe Tinker. I don't know. He played in the early 1900s.
Tuxedo Doyle.
Who's the answer?
It is Frank Damari.
Yeah, I wasn't going to get that.
Okay. Alex?
All right, we're going to go
to the... bailed out a little bit there, but...
It's fine. It's fine. We're going to go to the NL West.
NL West. That was a
poor decision.
Wait. Are we on the second team in the NL West or the third team?
Third.
Have we done Arizona Diamondbacks?
Yes, we have.
Yes.
Okay. Alex, you chose poorly. The San Francisco Giants.
Willie McCovey.
It is Chris Speier.
Yeah.
I
took a guess.
That's an 80s guess. Or that's an 80s or 90s answer. I can't remember.
Yeah.
No. He played from 1971 to 1989. Chunks with started with the Giants, ended with the Giants.
Yeah, I had no chance on that. No worries. Yeah.
It's a tough one.
So I'm going to go ahead and knock out the ones. So we've done that one.
Okay.
Mac, your choice, sir.
I'm going to go with an American League team. I'm going to go with the AL East.
All right, AL East, Boston Red Sox.
Oof, I'm going to have to go tier one on this.
All right. He played with the Boston Red Sox 2017 to 2023. He is a two-time All-Star, a 2018 World Series champion, and a Silver Slugger.
I believe this is Rafael Devers.
That is correct. Mac?
Let's go.
You have won 10 to 5. The other names on this list: Mickey Mantle, John Olerud, Wander Franco, Manny Machado, Asdrubal Cabrera, George Brett, Nick Castellanos, Goose Gosselin. I'm glad none of you got the Twins because you would have said Royce Lewis and been wrong.
Senators.
Luis Robert, Bryce Harper, the only other 19-year-old to do it in the playoffs, joining Andrew Jones, Miguel Cabrera, Wayne Garrett for the Mets, Orlando Arcia, yes, him, Jimmy Sebring in the 1903 World Series for the Pirates. You would have had to go deep in the annals of history for that one. Johnny Bench, Albert Pujols, Fernando Tatis Jr., and Troy Tulowitzki. So,
wow,
Mac,
that's
congratulations.
Quite the list. Thank you very much.
That's a good list, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Ooh, dang. All right, well, thank you so much for that, Slash. That was a good time, even if I also got a reaction. I did get a couple, I got some good answers, so I'll take that. But with all that being said, it is now time for the moment to ourselves where we take just a moment to talk about anything that's on our mind. It does not have to be baseball related, but it absolutely can be, as we just like to end every podcast out this way. Gentlemen, who would like to go first today? And just get a moment to talk. All right, Splash, if you would like to go first, you're more than welcome to.
Sure.
Your time begins in 3, 2, 1, go.
So before we started recording, I downloaded Assassin's Creed Mirage on my PlayStation. I'm super, super excited to get into it. And I've been thinking the last week or so that I kind of need to have more hobbies than sports because my sports teams caused me great depression. The Great Depression, in fact. So I've been listening to a history podcast on my phone at work the last few days. I'm going to play Assassin's Creed and, you know, try to diversify what I'm doing because sports can be a drain. You put so much time into it, but at the end of the day, you have no control over how well your team does or how poorly your team does or how well your players do or anything. So it's one of those things that sometimes I wish I had taken up like knitting as a hobby as opposed to watching sports.
I mean, I understand that very wholeheartedly. All right, Mac, would you like to go next or would you like me to go next?
I'll let you go first since I'm not quite sure yet.
I'm not either, but I'm going to go off the seat of my pants for this one. All right, if we're all ready to go then, here we go at 3, 2, 1. So I'm going to talk just here, I think, a little bit about patience. I've had to work a lot on my patience in years past just because I've had times where I just get really anxious, really nervous, really antsy about things, and I just need to learn how to breathe. And I recently had an experience where a friend of mine was having a bit of a problem with being patient about something, and I saw what was going on, and I thought to myself, is that what I used to do? Is that what was going on? And when you can see it from both sides, where you can see it where it's both your doing and then what someone else does, it gives you a lot of good perspective on it and really does help you understand why people want, is like why you may want to stop doing something as well, or at least get work on a better habit as well. So with all that being said, like, just practice patience. It's a good virtue. All right, and that is my time. So, Mac, are you ready to go?
Yeah, sure.
All right, here we go. It's 3, 2, 1, begin.
So, I just want to throw this out there. I've been seeing a lot of talk about this whole, like, layoff issue with, you know, waiting 5 days for the playoffs to begin. And You know, I'm not saying that, you know, all right, you do, maybe you do get a little rusty when you have to wait 5 days to play. And I know this from being an athlete myself, you know, for me as a swimmer, we would take months off at a time from competition, but I still don't think that's necessarily a valid excuse for poor play. You know, let's put it this way. Last year, the team that won the World Series had to wait their 5 days, and then they lost a total of 0 times the first 2 rounds of the playoffs. So I'm just saying, what makes it different for them than it did for the Braves or the Dodgers? Or, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, if the Mets were in that position and they got shelled, I would not excuse their poor play necessarily with that layoff. So I think I'm not saying the playoff format needs to change. I think as the years go on, teams will get better at adjusting. And, you know, it happens all the time. You know, you sweep and you have to wait for another series to finish. So I think keep the playoff format the same, teams will just have to get better.
Yeah, I completely agree at that point. Just on top of it, also just the idea that, you know, if you're also playing less games, it means less chance for injury. So that's a good thing that could also come from it. But
I just want to, can I throw this out there?
Yeah, please. Yeah, go for it.
How about be good at baseball? That's the other Max thing. Fried, at Bobby Miller, at Clayton Kershaw. I know your rest got thrown off and whatnot. Guess what? It's the playoffs. Your rest isn't normal anyways, right? Stop being a baby and go out and pitch. You know, Houston doesn't have any issues with doing that the last couple of years. Spencer Strider didn't have any issues. Remember, he had a 19 ERA coming into the playoffs, and he was excellent. He had no issues. You know, Kyle Bradish was pretty good in his first playoff start. He was reasonable. Bobby Miller was horrendous. Clayton Kershaw was even worse somehow. Max Fried, you know, credit to Fried for not allowing 10 runs. It could have been 10. He, you know, pitched around a lot of trouble, but, you know, he's supposed to be an ace, and he crapped the bed. Bobby Miller's supposed to be an ace. He crapped the bed. How many Dodgers fans told you, yeah, Bobby Miller's the reason we're going to win the World Series? Yeah. Eat my shorts, you bozos.
More unadulterated facts here with Ryan Splash Potts. Anyway, that's going to do it for our show today. Thank you so much to every one of you for tuning in. Make sure you go follow us all on Twitter. First, the show's Twitter platform, at LAR_baseball. Then you can go follow each of us individually. You can follow me at SportsGuy242. You can go follow Mac at Matthias_A_K. And you can go follow Splash at MrSplashMan19. But from all of us here at Losses Above Replacement, I want to thank you all for listening. Have a great rest of your day. Stay safe, and I hope to see you all real soon. Thank you.